Morning Joe on Sports Radio 99 The Game. John and Hugh on this Thursday. There is football tonight, Thursday night football, though it's not exactly the greatest of Thursday night football games. Jacksonville and Tennessee. That's one of those games that looked really good on paper at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
When
Jacksonville was the number one defense in the league, like the first week of the season or the second, and then they just went all downhill. Can I tell you a story, though? Last night, I'm getting ready to do my cardio before, get ready to go to bed. Like I do, try to do it in the morning, do it at night. So I'm getting on. I get on to do it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I can watch the game tonight. So I'm on the step mill looking for the game. Like, what the heck? What's going on? I even went to the Sling Box. Because, Sling Box will tell you all the sports shows that are on, like, right now. Man, couldn't find it. And for the longest time, John Fricky, I was like, what's going on with the game? Did I not pay my bill or something? Fool, it's Wednesday. It's Wednesday. I forgot it was Wednesday. Because, and I figured out what it was. Because when we do our rundowns, we do it like we're here.
Right.
You know what I mean? And the last thing that stuck with me when we were talking, AT said, yeah, Thursday night football tonight. And I'm thinking tonight was Thursday night football.
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Because when we do our rundowns, we're doing
evenings,
it.
Right.
Yeah, we did a meeting yesterday.
Right.
But we're doing it like we're here now.
Right.
And we just, we put everything in the morning. So when he said Thursday night, when he said football tonight, I'm like, yeah, that's right. I got to watch the game.
Oh, so you were paying attention.
I was like, yeah, because I don't say a whole lot because, John, you do all the talking during the meeting, you and AT. So, yeah, I just sit back and kind of, just chill out.
Do I do all the talking?
You do. You have, John, the great thing about you as a partner is you take command of the whole thing, which I don't have a problem with. Some people in this symbiotic relationship would probably have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. Like, I do not mind that at all. But you do tend to take over. You do take over. And that's cool. I don't, like, some host will have, a co-host would have a problem with that. I do not. And the only reason I'm saying something because you act like it's a big surprise to you that you don't take over.
Hugh, you're doing a lot of confessing right now.
No, I'm just saying.
Right. Let him talk. He's just going to tell the whole truth.
I'm just saying. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal.
Why does it feel
weird all of a sudden?
Meantime, the Jaguars are playing the Titans tonight. Tonight, Hugh. What? Tonight.
Why does this feel weird all of a sudden?
I don't understand. Feel weird to me. I think we're all good. Somebody got to take charge.
Yes,
you're right, John.
You do. And that's okay.
His random thoughts have just entered a different time.
No, they have not. No.
I'm just saying. What did I just tell you, Darryl? I'm going out with a bang.
Wait a second. Is there something I don't know here?
No,
he's talking about the year.
No,
he's
I'm
talking about
saying,
the year.
No,
okay.
I
for the year.
In general.
2018 is almost over. Well, so he's going out with a bang.
But it's not a bad. I'm not saying it. See, I feel like Peter now. I feel it's not a bad thing, though. It's not a bad thing.
It just occurs to me that you've been doing Hugh's World lately where you do unfinished thoughts, and that really is pretty much the whole show as it is.
I can't argue with that one, John. That was a good one. You came with a good one. I can't say anything about it.
Yes, John.
The Jaguars and Titans on Sports Radio 99 The Game. We will have coverage of the game beginning at 8 tonight. The Titans, by the way, and I know we have a lot of Titans fans, in our audience, Paul Bible, a big Titans fan, Titans are 6-6, and they win this game tonight up in Nashville, and the playoffs might be knocking on the door.
They're still alive. Yeah. They're still alive, but when you look at the hierarchy of the AFC teams, John, Titans get in there, sacrificial lamb. I mean, that's how you look at it. But again, anything can happen. Anything can happen in the playoffs, so, there's that. But thinking about it, like even last night when I thought the game was on, the only reason I was going to watch it just so that I could have something to talk about. But it was not one of those ones. It's not – football on Thursday night, to me, honestly, is not what it used to be. And what I mean by that is it's not one of those nights where I feel like I have to go out and go somewhere to watch the game. It doesn't feel like that anymore. It was a big to-do. Like Thursday night football, when they first did it, it was a big to-do. It was one of those things where you kind of planned your week around that Thursday night to say, hey, I'm going to go hang out at, whoever's playing. I'm going to go to this sports bar to watch the game, you know, maybe have an adult beverage or two and watch it and then, you know, get ready for the next day. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like that now.
Well, and it's interesting. I was just thinking about the AFC South and how that division has inverted from last year with Jacksonville at 4-8 when they ran away with the division last year. What were they, 13-3?
Yeah, they were pretty good last year.
And now you have Houston, the Houston on top, and Indianapolis and Tennessee both well ahead of Jacksonville. But it's not the only division now that occurs to me. You know, the NFC North flipped. Now it's the Bears on top of the Packers. The NFC South flipped. Unfortunately for us,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, even though well, the Saints are still there.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Technically, it's kind of the hierarchy is still there because the Saints were a playoff team last year.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that, you know, I think the biggest surprise for the South was Atlanta Falcons. That was the biggest surprise. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of that is because of the injuries and everything.
Yeah, and so maybe no division, and that goes back to that point, maybe no division has flipped quite like the AFC South. Which has become the dominance of the Jacksonville Jaguars lasted a year.
I tell you what, though. Not slighting Houston Texans. Houston Texans have been, like, the last couple years, they've been knocking on the door.
Well, they're finally healthy.
Well, and they got a quarterback.
That's what I mean.
They can score some points.
You know, J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson make a big difference to your team. Oh, you mean healthy players make a big difference?
Good point, John. Good point. Good point, but in the throes of the season, it's hard for people to see that because you're told and you have been told, right? I mean, and what are you supposed to say as a coach? But you've been told that the guys that step in are just as good as the other guys.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but that's what people are hanging on. And, you know, some fans listen to that and they take it for its word. And some look at it and be like, oh, yeah, you say that, but there's first stringers and second stringers for a reason. Some people look at that and say that. And then you have a lot of people, they look at it and say, man, you make too much money to be out there missing tackles.
I want to know how many
– things of that nature.
Since we're on it, I want to know
– around Christmas.
How many Falcons fans who said, you know what, Devontae Freeman, are now looking at that going, oh, wait a minute now. You mean 24 was pretty good? I don't know. Maybe, I think.
You know what, but honestly, though – I'll say this. Having Devontae Freeman back there, I don't know if that would be the X factor. I really don't, John.
It would be better than it is.
I don't know. I can't say that.
Because he's such a weapon out of the backfield in terms of catching the football.
I don't even know if you can say that, John. I mean, the way that this offensive line has been blocking.
Yeah, okay. Fair
enough. I don't know if I mean, you know, it's nice to think that that is the case.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Well, and it's not like the Packers aren't dinged up, too. The Packers, if there's a team, well, all right, maybe Houston Texans, but another team that is also snake bit and has been over the years by the injury bug, it is the Green Bay Packers. And again, they go into this game. Of course, now this game doesn't so much matter to them because they've already fired their coach and they pretty much checked out on the season. But we're seeing Brian Bulaga, Byron Bell, Jimmy Graham all may not play. You know, and of course, you get to this point in the season, and sometimes I'm not accusing any of these guys of anything. I'm just saying that sometimes, Hugh, if you start thinking about a meaningless game in December when it's cold, you know, that injury just got 10 times worse. Oh, ouch, my leg. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but you gotta fight through that, man. I mean, you know, you gotta fight through that because it's a thing that it's pride. Bottom line, you gotta play for pride. And you got to play because I don't know anybody who like getting their butt whooped and like having the dude standing over him, straddled all over him, looking at him, talking trash.
Mm-hmm.
That is not a comfortable feeling as a man. You know, it's just not. And it's a good chance that, you know, that might happen this weekend. So you want to make sure that doesn't happen. Because I'm going to tell you like this. As a former defender, a defensive lineman, if I was playing for Green Bay – and I just watched that tape of the tackles for the Atlanta Falcons. Ooh, I can't wait to get the practice. I'm doing some more Stairmaster. I'm doing the Stairmaster a little bit extra. I'm going to lift me a little heavier weight. We're going to work out during the week because I'm about to put it on one of those cats. Yes. Listening to what's that? The Rocky movie.
Going to fly now?
Yes. They ain't high now. Yeah. Thinking to myself, yeah, somebody about to catch this. Somebody about to catch these hands.
There is no tomorrow.
Yes. I'm telling you, John, that's how I would look at it. Because for me as a player, I used to revel in the fact that I was just beating the brakes off of dudes that was bigger than me. I used to love that and used to go out there and talk trash to them. Dude, you think that butt whooping you took last week was something? Wait till you see what I'm about to put on you. And that's how I would approach the game. That was, and it's cold too. Used to love playing against teams that would come from domes, from warm weather places, and come back up and play up north.
They'd be turtling up.
Oh man, listen. I remember one time it was Eddie George when he played for the Titans. They came up to Philly, and them cats came out, and the one thing they did, you know, was at the vet. They looked at the turtle. Oh my gosh, the ground's so hard. Got him. He worried about the wrong thing. He worried about the wrong thing, AT. He worried about the ground. Yeah,
right.
He needed to be worried about me.
Speaking of that, on cold weather games like that, did you get layered up in terms of?
Man, I went out there damn near naked.
Mm.
Because it was psychological. No,
didn't do Vaseline.
Yeah. Only thing I did was lotion. And I'm telling you, because like as a player, you look at teams that do that, and in your mind, they're already defeated. I remember going to Chicago playing the Bears in the second round of the divisional playoffs. They were the second seed. We were like the third or fourth seed. We went up there, and I remember we came outside. It was blistering cold. It was right before they did the renovations on Soldier Field. Mm-hmm. It was right before that, and I remember we came out. It was us and the DBs, and we were just warming up. And we came out with like cut off sleeve shirts on. And I remember Bobby Taylor, the DB, the receivers for the Bears were over there warming up, but they were all bundled up in coats and stuff. And Bobby Taylor walked over like they were catching the ball. And Bobby walked over and slapped the ball out the hand and was like, don't worry about that. You ain't about to catch nothing all day. And when he did that, that set the tone for the whole day. And it was like we was just out there putting them things on them Bears. I mean, for real. And that's the mentality that you have when you see things of that nature, when you see teams that, you know, are reeling a little bit, and then you see guys come outside with bundled up, they're not worried about the right thing. You need to be worried about winning a football game. So we about to put this thigh out on you. So that's why I say that it's going to be interesting to see how they handle this adversity of the cold weather and if it gets off to a rough start.
Talking about the Falcons and Packers and what will be a chilly day in Green Bay, though they say sunny on Sunday, but in the low 20s for the Falcons and Packers. There's a lot of talk and chatter about the Packers head coach right now. We are hearing all those names. You know, Joe Philbin, who, of course, has been a head coach in the NFL, was with the Dolphins, is going to get a chance now as the interim coach to possibly win that job on a permanent basis. But if Aaron Rodgers is going to have a say in this, my guess is going to be that Aaron's probably not going to want his own guy. Now, we've heard some of the young, hot names that are out there. Zach Taylor, who is the offensive coordinator of the L.A. Rams. Eric Bieniemy, who's the offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs. Josh McDaniels' name continues to be out there, though McDaniels had a bad experience as the head coach in Denver, and everybody's still wondering about what he did to Indianapolis when he left the Colts at the altar. There are some other names out there that are floating around that have suddenly popped up on the Packers. Now, I want to tell you this right now, the name I'm about to mention to you started surfacing yesterday, okay? And it's just surfacing. It's not, there's no official, everybody is just throwing names into a hat, okay? There's no official list of the Green Bay Packers saying we're talking to these people. But one of the names that was kind of interesting that caught my attention, Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, I read a story yesterday that said that there's a good chance that he might come back to the pros. He just signed up for a ton of bread at Michigan. This is where I think I got into the wrong business. Cause you don't even have to finish your contract as a coach and they still have to pay you. Like if he leaves college, he's still gonna get paid. He just signed a deal a couple years ago.
What does it mean to the Big Ten? Let's just for the sake of argument, say Jim Harbaugh takes the job of the Green Bay Packers, all right? You know, he is a quarterback, right? I mean, after all, and in the NFL, and maybe he and Aaron Rodgers certainly know each other. Let's say Jim Harbaugh says he's going to become a Packers head coach. What does it say for the Big Ten to lose Urban Meyer and Jim Harbaugh back, bam, bam?
That means that there's probably going to be a vacuum. Some might feel that there's a vacuum. And maybe, you know, Nebraska could step into that power vacuum and take over.
Well, I would hope they get better anyway, regardless of who's coaching in Columbus or Ann Arbor.
I think that if he left, Coach Harbaugh left, I admit they're going to step up and they're going to get another coach. It's just, what does his bio look like, though? What is this buyout?
See, he would have to buy them out if he left, right?
I don't think he would have to. He'd have to get back some money.
Oh yeah.
Oh no, I wouldn't get back no money. He didn't get back no money.
Yep, he'd have to pay that money.
Where you learn that dirty language from? That's a cuss word.
You walk out of that contract, you owe us.
Well, I don't think you're gonna do that, dude. Unless it's a ton of bread at Green Bay.
NFL's got some stories that do not involve the playoffs that are not making the league office very happy. But then again, you could argue that to a great degree, some of it is their own doing. The Kareem Hunt story has taken another twist. And the Redskins are under fire about Colin Kaepernick. I mean, under serious fire from a lot of different angles. As we continue next.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now you can listen to The Game anywhere in the world. Just go to radio.com and stream us anytime.
Using the internet.
Stay connected to Atlanta sports 24/7. Only at radio.com and the radio.com app. Streaming live now. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The National Football League. We mentioned to you Thursday Night Football, but we'll tell you again, Jags and Titans tonight on Sports Radio 92 on The Game. Pre-game at 8, coverage at 8:20 of this important clash for one team in the AFC South. It's not important for Jacksonville because they're unfortunately in the Falcons and Packers boat, which is docked at the harbor for the remainder of the year. The Titans, though, they're still out there on the water, you know, trying to sail their way into the bad puns intended. Into the postseason here for Marcus Mariota and that team up in Nashville. As for the NFL, there've been a lot of news, Hugh, in the NFL this week, and none of it is related to the playoff push here, which is not what the league wants at this time of the year. The league is hoping that at this time of the year, everybody's going to be talking about the great playoff races and the potential, you know, counting down to the Super Bowl and you know the debate about who's going to be the MVP. And yet they're stuck with all these news stories that they don't want. This cannot be a good thing for the NFL, and the Kareem Hunt is not the least of which, because it took another turn yesterday. The Kareem Hunt, we find out now that the Cleveland Police Department, they didn't even bother so much to investigate the incident. They just kind of went, man, nothing to see here, let's move along, and they walked away. And the NFL didn't so much as bother to investigate. Seems like nobody bothered to investigate this.
See, now this is where it gets a little strange for me. It's okay. Kareem Hunt told the Chiefs about the incident, and it made enough noise for them to actually have to tell the Chiefs about the incident. Why didn't the Cleveland Police Department know anything about this? And another thing, it's just kind of interesting how all of a sudden, at this time of the year, that all of this comes out. Well, that's neither here nor there, but it's just unfortunate that now – Because this looks to me now, since the story's come out, the police feet are being held to the fire in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm, they are.
And now they're trying to, you know, backtrack a little bit and then pick up the investigation, which I don't know. I don't know if there's any statute of limitations on this or anything like that. I can't speak to any of that. But it's unfortunate for Kareem Hunt on a bunch of different fronts. He shouldn't have did it in the first place. I want to say that before anybody – you know, jumps on me and thinks that I'm trying to defend him, but it's just he would have probably been better off just being forthcoming from the overall start about this whole thing.
Right, well, because the Chiefs cut him not for the incident. You know, understand, the Chiefs did not cut Kareem Hunt because of the videotape, the fact that he kicked this woman. No, they cut him for lying.
It's a lot going on with this story, though, John, because if I'm not mistaken, I read somewhere that him and this young lady are linked – And some other stuff that's going on. And I'm just going to leave it like that because I read the story and they were saying something about some other police cases or something else, some other police reports out there. And it was something that, you know, when I read it, it was like a blurb. So I really can't jump too much into that. But they're linked in some way to something that's going on. So, yeah, this is a strange story that's getting stranger and stranger. The more we find out about it.
Yeah, well, I'll give you a few strange elements that we now find out. The Cleveland Police Department, they show up and they just treat it as a misdemeanor. They do not ask to see the hotel video of the incident because the hotel has video. They didn't bother to ask for it. And then they come out and say, well, we didn't bother to ask for it because we assumed it was a misdemeanor. Of course, it wasn't. And then they further said, well, even if we had asked for it, the hotel's a private entity, they wouldn't have let us see it, which is partly true, but, you know, if you have a felony that takes place, usually the hotels are going to play ball, A, and B, If they don't, you can get a warrant. It's not that hard. And so that's one angle here. Second angle on this, Hugh, is, and you could comment on any of these, is it turns out that the Cleveland Police Department is investigating itself because somebody within the police department was the one that got a hold of the police report that wasn't public and sent it to the NFL.
Yeah, I'm looking at the story now, John. It said the NFL said Tuesday night in response to that report that it had obtained written reports prepared by officers who responded to the incident in February immediately upon learning of the incident. They had multiple verbal conversations with Cleveland police officers and requested surveillance video immediately upon learning of the incident in February, said Brian McCarthy, vice president of the communications for the NFL. In addition, NFL representatives also made requests for surveillance video to the hotel property. He said, we also obtained and reviewed the material developed by police, which included the written reports prepared by officers who responded to the incident and later the interviews that were recorded by the body cams and recording of the 911 calls. Damn. But this is the thing. It says the Kansas City Star is reporting that the NFL had not filed an official request for records until November 30th.
Because they didn't want to know.
The day TMZ posted the video.
Right.
This is a black eye for the NFL. At a time where, and we were talking about this in the bullpen, AT brought it up, at a time where they had built up so much trust with the community. It had started to die down a little bit. You know, everything that everybody was upset about, you know, with this on the field stuff that the players were doing and some other things. So the people started to come back and watch the game. And this is just another black eye for Roger Goodell. It really is.
Yeah, I agree.
And it makes people think that he's a little shady and things of that nature. Do you know what? It just hit me, and I just thought about this. But has anybody noticed how the NFL really doesn't wear pink like they did in the past few years? Remember, they haven't really worn pink in the last couple of seasons.
Well, no, they did last year. Now that you mention that, I don't recall
but they didn't do it
a
this
breast
year.
Cancer game this
they,
year.
I don't recall that this year.
Well, they're encompassing all forms this year, so they've done like every single color. It's not just breast cancer; it's just Cancer Awareness Month. So that's where
and that's from. Good because I mean, given the fact that you guys have known my history with cancer, I was always wondering the emphasis on bringing more women to the sport. They went forth with the breast cancer cases, but they didn't really do anything for the men.
And I understand that. But the point that I was trying to make was that when you think about how NFL was so involved and so instrumental in that breast cancer awareness month, how everybody was wearing pink, they didn't do that this year. They didn't do it for whatever reason.
Well, they still, even with the program, they still had their issues because who was the running back formerly with the Panthers who wanted to wear pink in honor of his mother who passed away, and they told him.
D'Angelo Williams?
D'Angelo Williams. And they told him he
was with Pittsburgh.
He was with Pittsburgh at the time. Yeah. And they told him he couldn't do something that he really wanted to do for tribute. And you were like, wait a minute, you can't have it one way and not include
it. No, and it just popped in my head because I remember that used to be like, there was a whole month where you just wore pink because we had pink ties and everything was about pink. And it was just interesting that this, to your point, that this year that wasn't the case. But it's great that they're doing it for cancer awareness. It's great that they're doing that. But I just remember that was something that they carved out a significant amount of time to push that.
All right. We're talking about the NFL and some of the stories the league is dealing with that not involving the playoff push. Colin Kaepernick in this story here. I'm just going to run through this. Some of the headlines here. Now, you may know that that the Washington Redskins have two quarterbacks, not one but two, that have broken legs. And then they went out and signed Butt Fumble and Mark Sanchez. Now they had to sign another quarterback because they got two with broken legs. Well, they according to Jay Gruden, the head coach, they considered Colin Kaepernick and then passed on him to sign Josh Johnson, who has been on literally 15 NFL teams. All right. Now a couple things to consider here, all right? One is that they said that they didn't want to have to kind of open up the playbook and teach somebody a new offense in their offensive line, a new offense, because Colin Kaepernick was a different kind of quarterback than they had in Alex Smith or in Colt McCoy. Even though Richard Sherman came out and said and made a really good point, you know, having two different quarterbacks with two different styles kind of works in Baltimore, just saying. But the Redskins are also under fire for signing Adrian Peterson, and there are pictures of his kid, and Reuben Foster – who is under direct fire for domestic abuse. And then there's another little side story to this, and here's a third one that somebody's putting out there, that they may have been cautious about signing Kaepernick because they were afraid Kaepernick, forget about the knee thing or anything else, that Kaepernick was going to go and make public statements or protests against the Redskins team name.
So why would you even tell anybody that was did you even consider him? You just that's just like bringing gasoline to a bonfire and just saying, hey, you know what I mean, for real. Would you bring gasoline?
And there it is.
I mean, that's the biggest thing. It's like, why would you even put that out there?
From a PR standpoint, the Redskins have had a really bad couple of weeks.
A really bad couple of Dan Snyders.
And they never should have mentioned this, because all you did was inflame those who don't want to see Colin Kaepernick back in the league.
Right.
And tick off those who do want to see him back.
Right.
And you've accomplished nothing by throwing that out there, but just making your franchise look like a dunderhead. And so,
well, they are a dunderhead. How could you? I mean, even to the biggest Colin Kaepernick hater, understand one thing, okay? You can't sign Adrian Peterson and Reuben Foster and then claim some kind of high moral ground, okay? You can't.
No, but it to me, it was like, you know what? We thought about Cap, but we didn't know how he was going to handle being a part of our organization, seeing as that we are the Redskins.
Yeah, well, Redskins, you know, I mean.
So why would you tell anybody that? Why don't you just keep that to yourself? But you know we are the Redskins.
Yeah.
And you know we have been under fire, so we don't know if we want – need a quarterback, but we don't know if we want to sign one that might, you know, draw some attention to us about our racist name, air quotes.
You know, we talk about the so-called Atlanta curse, but that team has a curse on it ever since that man took over that team, Daniel Snyder.
Well, he is the curse. Let's be clear as to who the curse is. Dan Snyder was the curse. You want to curse the Redskins? Let Dan Snyder buy you.
It's one of those things, man.
It's like the voodoo doll. Stick, 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 stick.
For a lot of people, Colin Kaepernick name still, you know, bothers them. So why would you bring his name up if you're not seriously thinking about doing something? Like, it'd be one thing if
right.
You brought him in.
Right.
You just threw his name out there and you caused all this firestorm that, by the way, you've already been dealing with a whole lot of heat from the Reuben Foster situation.
Well, right. And you may be also helping his collusion case by bringing this up.
Exactly. You may actually be doing that too.
So you're trying to say the NFL is kind of stupid?
Yeah, well, that was what this segment was about pretty much. Okay?
That's just stupid.
Man. Who's running that ship? Oh, the guy they're paying $50 million a year to. Hawks took one. There's no defense for the Hawks defense. And Joseph Martinez is an MVP. Next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is now my pleasure to present to team captain Michael Parkhurst and Atlanta United the 2018 Eastern Conference Championship Trophy.
Congrats to our Atlanta United.
Now, it's on to the Cup Final versus Portland this Saturday.
Once you move into the playoffs, you can't really take any chances. You can't take any risks. You have to defend as a team. I thought we did that tonight.
Our Atlanta United play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Beautiful sunny Thursday. Got a little chilly out there, but don't let that dissuade you from all the cheer. 19 days till Christmas. 19. And I don't have my lights up yet. I haven't put lights on my tree. I mean, oh, my God. My laundry list of stuff, to-do list, is never-ending.
That you love to do.
No, I don't really like putting up lights in the house.
You know what, John? You complain about stuff that you love to do. Everything that you complain about, you love doing it.
You know why I don't like getting on ladders.
But you still love putting up stuff around your house. You like the fact that the neighbors, your light bill will probably be off the hook when it come around Christmas time.
My wife wants to get those deer that light up, you know, the deer.
Yeah, you about to do it big.
Yeah, she wants to put the deer in the yard, you know, those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what, John, since you hate to do it so much, let's take a picture of your front yard during around Christmas time, and let's see what it looks like. And we're gonna measure how much you really hate doing it. Because I got a feeling, John, that your house is one of the houses that when you want to go look at Christmas lights,
no,
that's one of the houses that you ride past.
And usually it's actually not. I'm not an outdoor light guy. I'm an indoor light guy, but not an outdoor light
guy. But you can see them from the street, from inside the house, though, right?
Yes.
So what you getting on the ladder for if they're not hanging outside?
Well, no, she wants lights outside this year.
All right, then. So there it is. So like I said, why you trying
to
deflect?
Hang icicles or whatever it is you got to hang out there.
Why you trying
know.
To deflect?
Oh, we need video of
we
this.
We need pictures.
I just don't like ladders.
We need to post this on 929thegame.com.
We need pictures, man.
The Hawks didn't play any defense last night. What else is new? They lost to the Wizards at home, 131-117. 5-20 on the year. The one thing, Arthur, you know, you being an NBA guy, and Hugh, you can jump in on this. All these young players, and they have good young players. One thing that's going to be interesting to watch Lloyd Pierce develop them, and I believe he will, is the leaps and bounds they take as a defensive unit. Because right now they're the worst defensive team in the NBA. They don't play defense very well, and that's the hard thing to learn. You know, it's hard to tell young players, and you think about it. If you said to a young player coming up that wanted to play in major college basketball, thought he had a chance to play in the NBA. You know, what is the one thing you need to do? Well, I need to work on my shot, or I need to work on this. You say, you know, Michael Jordan was fill in the blank. He was the greatest what? Well, he's the greatest scorer of all time, the greatest dunker of all time. You know, he was probably the greatest defensive player of all time.
Yeah, he played defense. Now, he did do that. Now, I remember them times where, you know, Jordan played defense, and he frustrated a lot of people. He was a hell of a player. No question about that.
Yeah, and well, these guys just don't want to learn to play. And let's not forget Kawhi Leonard, who's odds on favorite for player of the year in the East, if not one of the people MVP, was a defensive player in college. And when he came out, when he won the MVP of the NBA Finals, it was based in large part on his defense.
Well, playing defense is a want to. You have got to want to play defense.
Well, and you can ride that all the way to Dennis Rodman did
exactly.
Nothing but play defense and rebound.
And it's you remember how he annoyed Scottie Pippen in those early years until the Bulls finally got over the hump and was able to put aside Rodman and the rest of the Pistons? You can really stake a firm control of your entire, like you said, your entire career, but you got to want to play defense. If you haven't done it on the high school level or the college level, they certainly don't play defense AAU teams. It's going to take a while for you to make that transition when you come to the NBA. Lloyd Pierce is a defensive coach. That's one of the main reasons he was hired, in addition to his youth, to be able to relate to these young players. If his players don't respond to him from a defensive standpoint, it's going to make his time short along the sidelines here in Atlanta, and that's unfortunate. But the players have got to want to play it.
One guy, when you talk about guys that come into the league and they're known for doing one thing, I think he played at Carolina, Tyler Hansborough.
Mm-hmm.
He was calling him Psycho T.
Right.
He was that's what he did. He carved out a nice career for himself being a defensive player. Really did.
Bruce Bowen.
Yeah.
Another guy.
Yeah, definitely.
As a matter of fact, Bruce Bowen has his number retired by the Spurs. And I'm like,
that's all he did was play defense. You know, I mean, these young players, if you're a young player and you want to make your mark, if you're a high school player and you want to get into college, play defense.
I used to, like, my son, his thing now is he wants to play basketball. And, you know, if he listens, son, I've told you this. I ain't like it's a big old secret. You can't dribble. You're not the greatest dribbler. Love you to death. You're my son, but you're not the greatest dribbler. Play defense. And I used to tell him this. He'd tell you, I play defense. If you play defense, you can play in the NBA because nobody plays defense hardly. Mm-hmm. So that's what I used to tell him. That's what he'd tell him all the time. Play defense.
So the Hawks take one on the chin to the Washington Wizards. They will now turn around and face the Denver Nuggets. And that game, by the way, coming up on Saturday, will be on our sister station, Star 94, because of the fact that we have the MLS Cup game. Big news of the MLS Cup yesterday. We've been talking about it all morning. Joseph Martinez, the latest in a long line of Atlanta people to be recognized in this offseason. He had Ronald Acuna win Rookie of the Year, Brian Snicker, Manager of the Year, Tata Martino, Coach of the Year. And, yes, we'll talk a little bit more about all of this coming up with Tata's final game as the Atlanta United manager with Mike Conley and Taylor Twellman later in the show. All these awards, and now Joseph wins MVP. Not only did he win MVP, but in the voting, Miggy Almiron finished second. So Atlanta United went bam, bam, 1-2 in the voting. And yesterday at the Blank family home off West Spaces Ferry, they had a news conference to Hugh give the trophy to Joseph Martinez. And I was struck by the fact that there were, in the middle of the day, in the middle of the week, 30 cameras and 100 members of the media packed into this room. And the reason I was struck by it was, again, middle of the day, middle of the week, okay, it's a local story, but boy, there were lots and lots of national people there. I come from a place where this sport that we talk about in soccer, when I was first covering the Atlanta Chiefs in 1978 at Fulton County Stadium, three people, one of whom was Sally Jenkins, two, a reporter for the Constitution, reporter for the Journal, and me. That was the entirety of the press box. Now, it's getting attention worthy of the NBA, the NFL. I mean, it's a big deal.
I mean, I don't see why you would be surprised. I mean, look at the record crowds that have been at Mercedes-Benz Stadium all season long. Look at how soccer has transcended in Atlanta, how it has grown. It's a big deal. So for you to not want to be a part of that or not report on that, you're not doing a service to the people that listen to your show, that follow you on Twitter or whatever it is. Whatever reporter you are, if you're not covering this right now, you're probably missing the boat.
It is the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. When we get back, we're going to swing in, and as mentioned, Mike Conley and Taylor Twellman both on the show coming up as we count down towards MLS Cup. Not the only big story, of course. We've got college football knocking on the door as we count down to the playoffs and whatnot. UGA, big story, has lost its defensive coordinator. Where is he going and what are they going to do? All ahead with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.